Christ and the seeking shepherd. Again, like this morning, we'll consider primarily the words of verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, as the Lord hath made known unto us." This morning we considered the message for the shepherds. We looked at that message, we considered the persons, namely the shepherds themselves. They were humble shepherds and they were honored shepherds. We noted also their purpose. They were watching and keeping their flock by night. That's the purpose of shepherds, liking them unto the Lord that keeps his sheep. He will never leave them nor forsake them. We noted also the shepherds in the period that they were watching their sheep, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So I mentioned the significance of that. But the angel came to tell the shepherds about Christ, who is the light of the world. And the Lord Jesus brings light where there is darkness. So we considered the message for the shepherds. Now we want to move on and consider the message about the Savior. We're told here that it was the angel of the Lord who delivered this message to the shepherds, verse 9. It is interesting to note the occasions when this visitor from heaven was involved in the incarnation of the Son of God. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 1. We read in Matthew 1 about the angel of the Lord. Matthew 1 and verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." The angel of the Lord delivered the message to Joseph. Verse 24, Matthew 1. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 13. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Again, it was the angel of the Lord that was involved in those events surrounding the birth of Christ. It's interesting that we read about the angel of the Lord, as it were, at the beginning of Christ's earthly journey. And when you go back or on to Matthew in chapter 28. There we read in Matthew 28 and verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon him. So there you have the angel of the Lord involved in the events surrounding the birth of Christ, and the angel of the Lord involved again in the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. Now we notice here again in Luke chapter 2 what was said to the shepherds. Look at verse 10 of Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, fear not. That is, the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel of the Lord said unto them. We're told that when the angel of the Lord appeared unto those disciples, they were afraid, or those shepherds. They were afraid, for verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And then the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And there we have, regarding this message to the shepherds, regarding this message about the Savior, we notice, first of all, here and then under this heading, the hope in the message. Obviously, when the angel of the Lord appeared and the glory of the Lord shone round about those shepherds, they were certainly sore afraid. But notice the first word that the angel uttered, the first words the angel uttered to the shepherds. Fear not. So the angel had come to tell the shepherds about Christ, and the angel had come and said unto them, fear not. So we see it was a message of peace. The angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid, and the angel said to them, fear not. That tells us about the hope that there is in this message of Christ coming into the world. There's the hope of the message about Christ coming into the world. The angel of the Lord said, fear not. The angel of the Lord didn't always have a message of peace. You can look it up yourself. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. It was the angel of the Lord who appeared, and it wasn't a message of peace that he delivered on that occasion. But it was on this occasion. The same angel of the Lord brought words of peace. And of course, the words, fear not, accompanied the message that the Christ child had come into the world. Is that not significant? That the angel of the Lord said, fear not, for, you have no need to fear, for or because I bring you good tidings of great joy. And what were the good tidings? Jesus Christ has come into the world. Christ brings peace where there is fear. And we read in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child was born. The son already existed. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Wonderful counsel of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, what? The Prince of Peace. So Christ coming into the world, he came to bring peace. And the angel's message to Mary about Christ involved and included peace also. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Fear not, Mary. Fear not, you shepherds, for I bring you good tidings. I've come to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's hope in the message. The message that involves the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always hope. As well as the peace. The angel spoke to the shepherds about the proclamation. The angel said, Behold, I bring you good tidings. Behold, I bring you good tidings. Four English words. I bring good tidings. Four English words, I bring you good tidings, come from the Greek word, which gives us the word we are familiar with, evangelize. I bring good tidings. There's one word in the original, and it's the word that we get evangelized from. So here's the proclamation. Sure, isn't that what we are doing when we preach the gospel of Christ? We are seeking to evangelize. Indeed, that's what the word gospel means. Gospel means good news. Are good tidings. And the angel told the disciples, I bring you glad tidings, good tidings. I bring you the gospel. And it is, of course, a message of good news, or good tidings, if it is a message about Christ. There is no good news, and there's no glad tidings in a message that does not have Christ in it. Simple as that. If Christ is absent in the message, then the good news is absent. There's no glad tidings in a message, in a sermon that does not have Christ. Christ is the one who makes the message. Makes it a message of hope. Makes it a message of peace. Makes it a message that's worth proclaiming. Because with Christ and the message, to dying sinners it is good tidings. To dying sinners it is good news. And the angel of the Lord have a great message to proclaim. We sang there tonight, His only righteousness I show, His saving faith proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp His name, preach Him to all, and cry in death, Behold, behold the Lamb. That's the proclamation of the word. That's the proclaiming of the good news. We evangelize. How do we do that? We preach the gospel of glad tidings. We preach the good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. That's the good news. That is the good news. That's the glad tidings. As well as the hope we find in the Message, the angel of the Lord also spoke about the heart of the Message. We've already said, if there is no Christ in the Message, then there's no gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is what makes the gospel the good tidings and the good news. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the heart of the gospel. You take someone's heart away, what's the result? A dead corpse. Take the heart out of the gospel and the Message is dead. There's no life in it. And so here you have in the verse 11 chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What wonderful news. What good news. What glad tidings for poor lost souls. Sure isn't that what lost souls need? A Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, as we know, means anointed or Messiah. So Christ is the anointed Savior. He's been anointed of heaven. He's been anointed by the Holy Ghost. Look over at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord at the beginning of his earthly ministry, Nazareth. And here he reads from the book Isaiah. And he says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He's the anointed Savior. He's heaven anointed. He's anointed of the Holy Ghost. What to do? To preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that not good news? Of course it is. It's good news for sinners. Good news for those who have spirits on the city of David is born a Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. So we have three names there for Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior. Christ, the anointed Savior. And Lord. He is Lord. That's right, he is God. For the Lord in the Old Testament answers to Jehovah. He is Savior, he is Christ, he is God. That's good news. Because only God can save souls. Only God can deliver men and women out of the clutches of the devil. Only God can do that, and Christ is God. There you have the heart of the Message. Christ is the heart of the Message that was delivered by the angel of the Lord. None but Jesus, Savior. None but Christ, the Anointed. None but the Lord, Jehovah, is able to save. There's the heart of the Message that was delivered to the shepherds that night. As well as the hope in the Message, and the heart of the Message, there is here also the honor in the Message. After the glorious announcement was made, well then heaven burst into song. Look at verses 13 and 14. The Lord, or the angel of the Lord told the shepherds he shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. And suddenly, happens suddenly, the Lord will come to his temple suddenly. The Spirit of God moves and revival will happen suddenly. And here, suddenly, there was with the angel of the Lord, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's the honor. God is honored in this message that was delivered by the angel of the Lord. When the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, we are told that the angel of the Lord came upon them. Look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You take those words, came upon them. Those words mean he stood by them. So it wasn't a case of the angel of the Lord hovering over the shepherds. The angel of the Lord came right down and stood with the shepherds, stood by the shepherds. And then we read, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a marvelous sight this must have been. First of all, the angel of the Lord came down and stood on the ground with the shepherds. And the glory of the Lord, we noted this morning, the word glory means light. The glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord shone round about them. And there's the angel standing with the shepherds. And then suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host. What did they do? They came and joined the angel of the Lord. In other words, the heavenly host, a multitude of angels came and stood with the angel of the Lord and stood with the shepherds. You think of that. Just think upon that. There we have the shepherds in the field. And the angel of the Lord comes down and stands with them, and the light, the glory of God shines all around. And then suddenly a multitude of angels come down and stand with the shepherds and stand with the angel of the Lord, and then they burst into song. They start to sing. Suddenly there was with the angel the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We said this morning, we don't need to wait until the month of December to praise the Lord for his coming into the world. We ought to praise him 12 months of the year. And when we stand in God's house, as the angel stood that night in the field, we ought to praise the Lord. And we ought to praise God with all of our hearts. You say, well, I can't really sing. I'm not a good singer. Well, the psalmist says that he made a joyful noise unto the Lord. We can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, as long as it comes from the heart. If we're off key and out of tune, the Lord will not mind. It's what comes from the heart. And here you have the heavenly host of angels, a multitude, standing in the field that night with the shepherds. Maybe the shepherds joined in as well. We're not told that, but there's every possibility they did. Well, it was some choir that night in the open air in the field. We ought to do the same. Every time we open our hymnals, we ought to sing with all of our heart, glory to God in the highest. Give glory to God, because listen, we have more reason to sing about Christ coming into the world than the angels have. The angels sang glory to God in the highest over the Savior's coming into the world. We have more right to sing to the glory of God and the praise of our Savior than the angels have. Because Christ didn't come into the world to save angels. He came into the world to save sinners. And that includes us. The angels were sinless in heaven. They didn't need saving. But boy, we did. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. He didn't go to the cross to save heavenly angels. He came into the world to save earthly sinners. And that includes us. So when it comes to praising God, let's praise Him with all of our hearts. Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 12, Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us. Paul's giving us the reason for giving thanks. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. We're saints. We're inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. Now that doesn't make you want to sing, I don't know what. Well, all of this made it possible because Christ Jesus came into the world to save all of His elect. That's why we sang this morning, "Oh come, let us adore Him." Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We considered then the message for the shepherds. And then we looked at the message about the Savior. Finally, I want to consider the message for the seekers. The shepherds were the seekers. And isn't it interesting that what the shepherds did upon receiving the news about Christ's child? Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, as the Lord hath made known unto us." Here we have the response of the shepherds. Here we have the shepherds and how they responded to the message. They responded to the message. You notice The response was, first of all, it was immediate. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go." No, they didn't say, "Well, we'll leave it for a while. We'll wait till the morning." No, they said, "Let us now go." You say, "Well, what about their sheep?" Well, I would say they had to attend to this matter of seeking Christ first. The Lord will look after the sheep in their absence. They had to attend to this matter first of all. And we are told that they said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Certainly weren't like old Felix we read about in Acts. Paul gave Felix the gospel. What was Felix? Paul. "When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee." Problem was, that convenient season never came. Never came. The shepherds didn't adopt that attitude. They didn't say, "We'll wait a while." They didn't say, "Well, the angels have gone." It's the way sinners act and think after a meeting. They say, "Well, that's the meeting over. The gospel has been preached to me, but it's over now. I just go home." You don't think any more about it. Shepherds didn't adopt that attitude. But rather they said, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem." We're going now. We're going right now. Well, it's not what Paul said with regard to seeking Christ. He said, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation," 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. So we see the response was immediate. "Let us now go." All that more men and women who have been told about Christ and given the glad tidings of the gospel would follow the example of these shepherds. Instead of waiting for a more convenient season or putting it off, all that they would say one to another, "Let us now go." The response was immediate. Notice further regarding this response, their inquiry. For we are told that they inquired after the Christ child in Bethlehem. "Let us now go and see this thing." "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They went to inquire about the Christ child in Bethlehem. We have noted, particularly this morning in the first part of the message, those things that were very significant that took place that night when the angel of the Lord came. Very significant that the message about the Christ child coming into the world was delivered to shepherds. We looked at the significance of that and how those shepherds pictured for us Christ. They kept their sheep. Christ always keeps his sheep. They were there all night. They continued all night with their sheep. Christ will continue with us as sheep always. They never leave us. But here's something else that is significant regarding the inquiry that was made by the shepherds and going to Bethlehem. Bethlehem! We know that any place name that begins with Beth, we know that Beth means house. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. Is that not significant? That Christ was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And what did Christ say of himself? I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. John 6, verse 35. And how significant was that, that Christ was born in Bethlehem? And how significant it was that the shepherds went to Bethlehem, the house of bread, to seek the one who is the bread of life. When you think of the dear souls in this world, and they're starving. They're starving for life, they're starving for happiness, they're starving for peace, because they can't find it anywhere else. But oh, if they would only do what the shepherds did. And seek the one who's the bread of life. And the bread of life would satisfy their longing. For now none but Christ can satisfy. In another name, for me there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, find in you. What a wonderful passage of scripture this is. The response was immediate. The response involved an inquiry. And the response was as a result of them being informed. They had been informed. Notice the words, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord hath informed us about the Christ child. That was heaven's message. And the shepherds responded accordingly. How many have been informed by a preacher, a messenger sent from heaven, a message given to them by heaven to preach the gospel? And they have informed sinners of their need of Christ. They have informed men and women of their need of the Lord and the dangers of hell and the blessings of heaven. They have informed them. They have given them all the information they need. But they haven't responded. They haven't responded to the message. They haven't responded to the information that has been given to them. Not what the shepherds said. We'll go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Why weren't those privileged shepherds? Those shepherds were given the glad tidings. Those shepherds were informed. Nobody else. But those shepherds were informed. You think of the souls in this world today. And they've never been told about Christ, never been given the gospel, never been given an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And then you think of those who have been given all the information they need and given it over and over and over again. Well, on the day of judgment, they may be challenged. Were you given information? Were you told about the way of salvation? And they'd have to say, yes. I've been given information about the way of salvation over and over and where to seek Christ and where to find Christ said over and over and over. For those souls will not be able to plead ignorance of the Day of Testament. They've been given all the information they need. And we read in Romans 1 verse 20, they are without excuse. So we have noticed the response of the shepherds. We notice, secondly, the recognition by the shepherds. The shepherds were told how they would recognize the child. Verse 12, and ye shall, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. These were very plain, ordinary clothes. Swaddling clothes. This was an Eastern custom, certainly in Bible times, that a newborn babe was wrapped. We would tend to have a newborn babe and place it in its cot and put a blanket over it. But that's not what was done to newborn babes in Bible times and even perhaps in present day. They were wrapped. I was reading about a woman called Miss Rogers. And she was given access to seeing how a babe is wrapped in swaddling clothes in the Bible land. This is how she described what she saw. She said, quote, I took the little creature in my arms. His body was stiff because he'd been wrapped. His body was stiff and unyielding. So tightly was it swathed with white and purple linen, his hands and his feet were quite confined, and his head was bound with a small, soft red shawl, which passed under his chin and across his forehead in small folds. So you get the picture. This little child was wrapped and wrapped so tightly he couldn't move his hands or his feet. And the lady said, this Miss Rogers said, he was a little creature, his body was stiff and unyielding, so tightly was it swathed. The child could not move its hands or its feet. When I read that, I thought of Christ. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, probably wrapped as this lady described it, that she saw many years later. And there he was, lying in a manger, with his hands and his feet confined, couldn't move. And I thought, what an amazing sight it must have been. For when you think of the one lying in that manger, it's Jehovah. The God of heaven, and wrapped so tightly as a child who couldn't live. And then I thought, well, isn't that how it would be for Christ on the cross? He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and his hands and his feet confined. He couldn't move. later 33 years later, he would be nailed to a cross and his hands and his feet would be confined not with swaddling clothes, but with nails. Nails would pierce his hands and his feet. Nails would confine his hands and his feet. But as he was nailed there, he could not move. Now we know, we've said it so often, if Christ had wanted to, he could have come down from the cross. But love kept him there. And because of that, his hands and his feet were confined. They couldn't move. They didn't move until he was taken down from that cross. Amazing, isn't it? But here you see the Christ child lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and even there, we can see the purpose of his coming into the world to save sinners. We have the response of the shepherds, the recognition by the shepherds, and then you have the reporting by the shepherds. Again, verse 15, the Lord has made known unto them. And they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 17, and when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They made known abroad. There's the report. They had seen the Christ child, and they made it known. What they had seen, what they had been told, the glad tidings, they made it known to others. They had been told, so they told others. So true, isn't it? You remember when you got saved? You remember when you met the Savior? You wanted to tell others. I was saved on a Monday night. Tuesday morning, I went into work in the Willis Engineering, and Ryan told everybody. Last night I got saved. Told all the workers, I got saved last night. Wanted to tell people. The shepherds had seen the Lord, had met the Lord, and they wanted to tell everybody. Let us tell it abroad about the Savior. Here was a message that the shepherds could not keep to themselves. They had to go and tell it. As well as the response of the shepherds and the recognition by the shepherds and the report by the shepherds, we finish with the rejoicing of the shepherds. For we're told in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They rejoiced. Their hearts were filled with joy. Why? Why? Because they had received the good tidings and they had responded and they had gone and found the Savior. And they rejoiced. And they couldn't keep it to themselves. They went and told others. And as they did so, they rejoiced. They had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is the man. Happy. Happy is the man. Joyous is the man. His transgression is forgiven. His sins are. Sure, when your sins have been forgiven and your sins have been blotted out, does it not fill you with joy? You're glad. You praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, what lessons we can learn here from the angels, and what lessons we can learn from the shepherds. Let's be like the angels. Let's be like the shepherds. Let's be like those seeking shepherds who in the middle of the night went seeking Christ and found him and were filled with joy. Couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to tell others about what had happened. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving God and eternal Father, bless thee for the Savior, for his coming into the world. Oh, we have something to shout about. We have something to sing about. We have something to tell others about. About the one who's mighty to save. Lord, stir us up, we pray. Revive us again. Oh Lord, that we might go and blaze a trail for Christ. What an experience it was for those shepherds. Here we experience something similar. When the Lord Jesus came into our lives, in the light of the world, shone into our dark souls and dispelled the darkness, gave us life eternal, with every reason, Lord, to rejoice in the Savior's coming into the world. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. And families get together. May it be a blessed time. Give safety on the roads. Oh, Lord, be with us throughout this week. When we meet again here in the Lord's house, we're living to praise thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore.